Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
History, or perhaps not, the Hillary Clinton campaign critical, that according to Drudge. And of course, all of the issues surrounding the Democratic national candidate, folks, understand this. You know, I've seen so many postings on forums and websites. Oh my goodness, people seem to really understand the Constitution. No, not from what I've seen. We are seeing the potential for a crisis. Now, when I say crisis, I mean something that's unprecedented, potentially something that has the potential, but perhaps not the probability of delaying or indefinitely suspending the general election. Now, you might think that is just totally absurd. And I thought so too, because wait a minute, we've got amendments to the Constitution that directly address this. Well, now you start getting into that water a little bit murky. And I did a video yesterday to address that. We have not had a presidential nominee, someone who was nominated by their party, become impaired or be removed from the ticket this close to the election. We're 50 some days out, I believe. It is not a clean process necessarily, and it gets murkier the closer you get to the date of the election. Now, once the election does take place, the president elect, that person becomes the president elect regardless of party. And of course, the process is a little bit more clear. However, right now it's not. So, could we be facing a constitutional style crisis? It's possible, folks. You know, at this point, and even if we are, and we're looking toward the Constitution, to the Constitution for answers, my question is, have we been constitutional purists? Have we followed the Constitution? Have our lawmakers or leaders followed the Constitution? Over the last couple of administrations, it doesn't appear that way, does it? So anything goes, in my view. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. We have a very special show for you planned out. Just want to welcome everybody from all across the United States, all across North America, Central America, South America. We've got Europe checking in. God bless each and every one of you listening to this in Europe. We've got some in Southeast Asia. Some people, listeners there, to tune in to our first guest tonight. That's Jonathan Kahn. I'm very excited to have Jonathan Kahn with us coming up momentarily. We're going to bring him on. Of course, folks, if you haven't heard, Jonathan Kahn has got a great new book, and we have it, and I read it, and it's fantastic. The Book of Mysteries by Jonathan Kahn. Now, this is a little bit different than The Harbinger. This is a little bit different than Shemitah. Okay? The Book of Mysteries is... Oh man, it to me, to describe this book, you have to read it.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. I actually surprised myself. I got a special delivery on Sunday, which I guess they have mail delivery on Sunday. Well, I know they have mail delivery on Sunday, but it came on Sunday and I just devoured it. Just devoured it because it is so intricately, it's so well done. Portions of Nice Broadcast brought to you by Zip Recruiter. Folks, if you're hiring, if you are a small business owner, big business owner, medium-sized business owner, if you're hiring, do you know where to post your job to find the best candidate? Well, now you can actually, through Zip Recruiter, post your job opening in many places to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the top job sites, and now you can through ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free, by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. If you're looking for that perfect candidate, there's your answer. But again, we are in this murky waters. And you know, Joe and I were talking earlier, and Eric, the tech, and we were talking about our current condition, the current state, our current health of our country. The bottom line here, it would appear that the root of what we're seeing, the epicenter of where we're at, exists in the spiritual. In other words, we are spiritually ill. This country is spiritually ill. The problems originate because of our spiritual, moral bankruptcy and perversity. That's at least from our perspective anyway. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you. Jonathan Kahn, hopeoftheworld.org is his website. Hopeoftheworld.org is the website. And also, mysteriesbook.com. Mysteriesbook.com. That's for the book. We've met Jonathan Kahn at a conference in Orlando, Florida, the Prophecy and the News Conference. And in fact, we just posted up a picture, the three of us on Facebook, our Facebook account. This man, I respect this man immensely. Joe, if you want to bring him on, let's go
yeah,
into it.
Tonight we have Jonathan Kahn with us, author of The Harbinger of the Shemitah and the Book of Mysteries. His latest book, and The Mystery of the Shemitah, I'm sorry, was the last book. And this is a fantastic book. Jonathan, welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Always great to be with you guys. Always a pleasure. I'm blessed with what you guys are doing. Did you get the email? If not, if someone can check your email, came in real late but has some notes.
Yes,
if you,
okay.
If you guys have your email,
check that right now.
Yeah, we got
okay,
it. Thank you for
but
that.
Great to be with you always, and it was great to meet you that time.
Well, you know, it's you're an incredible writer. I'm astounded with every book that you write, and I don't mean to sound like this is just, you know, flowery talk, but the way you're able to convey your message, it's fantastic. And this latest book, your latest book, The Book of Mysteries, is really something to behold. I just when I got it, I didn't know what to expect, and I picked it up and I started reading it. The first page grabbed me. Where do you want to start? In the absence of right now being able to get our fingers on the email, so why don't you go ahead?
Yeah. Guys, you know, I thought maybe it could be good to give an update of where we are, and you know, I mean, of from the Harbinger to the Shemitah, we're in that, and then we can get into it with the Book of Mysteries if that sounds good. A few things. First of all, where we are, the template, you know, in the Harbinger, which is focused on Isaiah 9:10, which is the last days of Israel, and is the at the moment of defiance when the nation that's been falling away from God, it issues this statement that we're not turning back even after shaking. And what happens with and the next part of that, and we've seen the Harbinger is the parallels of or the manifestations of the last days of Israel, those warning signs, those harbingers have reappeared in America, identifying us in the as a nation in danger of judgment. And but the next part of the template, the pattern or the progression, is that the nation doesn't turn back and it ignores the warnings and it continues on its course and deeper and deeper and more brazenly defiant before God. And that's exactly where we are now. That's exactly what's happened in America. You said it rightly at the beginning of the show of a spiritual sickness. It was a year ago, a little over a year ago, you know, that America really crossed the line. There's a pattern in the Bible, before judgment comes, there's an act of desecration. And we see with Daniel when the cups of the temple are desecrated in Babylon and then judgment comes. You see it in Ezekiel when God shows him the temple and the idolatry that was happening and he pronounces judgment. But the act of desecration, it takes something holy and desecrate it. And that is what America did a year ago when we struck down the order of God, the order of marriage, a sacred vessel of God, and then the president celebrated it by lighting up the White House in the colors of the rainbow, as rainbows were all across the land. The rainbow, another sacred vessel of God, desecrated on the same day to celebrate the desecration of the first vessel. So we have really crossed the line, and you know, there's a day in the biblical the Jewish calendar, but also it's a historic day that when the first act of judgment came to Israel, when they removed, the Babylonians removed the Israel's protective wall of defense, and that was sealing judgment when that those first walls of defense were breached. And that day, it happened on the 9th of Tammuz, and that has been commemorated in mourning for 2,500 years. Well, that day, the day that America struck down the hedge of marriage, was the day of the 9th of Tammuz, the day of biblical judgment, when the hedge of the nation's protection is removed and when judgment is sealed. So we're watching things accelerate. I mean, it's almost every day the apostasy of America is accelerating, and the world. So it continues. And you know, one point I know, because I have want to do some prophetic things in the middle, if that's okay. But you know, I also want to give you an update on the Shemitah and some of the things like that. But that's just a kind of a quick update. And there's also something of a harbinger that's actually going to be appearing in, I can say it's scheduled. It's going to be appearing where I am here around New York City in about a week. And before we close, I'll share about that too. But a lot is happening.
Yeah, please do. You know, we've gotten so many emails from people saying, commenting on your previous works, and you know, just wondering. And honestly, their intentions are pure. You know, wondering, well, did Jonathan Kahn's, I don't want to say predictions, but your,
no, absolutely not.
No, nor do I want to say prophecies, but your,
with the Shemitah.
Yes, I mean,
yes.
Many people are asking. Okay, so
yeah, yeah,
go, yeah.
That's
go ahead.
Great. Let me get. Yeah, I'll get right to that. That's actually I wanted to do this. So that's good. Yeah,
okay.
A few things. First of all, anybody knows me really, and anybody has really read what I've written, you know, in these things, I've always said, first of all, you cannot put God in a box. God does not have to do anything at any time, including the Shemitah. These are patterns. He's not in a box. There are times it happens, times it doesn't. I've always given that warning. However, let me touch on first of all, as far as the Harbinger, again, we are continuing to progress in that. As far as the Shemitah, nothing had to happen. However, did it manifest? Absolutely. Absolutely, yes, and I'll explain. First of all, the predominant pattern, if you look at the book, is that it's of a crash or a collapse that happens, whether in the financial realm, the economic realm. And if you look back at the last seven Shemitahs from 2008 back to 2008, you have the great collapse. 2001, you have another great collapse in the stock market. 1994, in that Shemitah, you have the great bond market massacre, worst in bond market history, which is actually bigger than the stock market. The Shemitah of 1987, you have Black Monday, the worst percentage crash in history, and another long-term stock market crash over several months. 1980-81, you have another a recession and a stock market crash. 1970, the Shemitah of 73, another crash and recession. And 1967, you have another one as well. But what about 2015? The predominant pattern, you know, is not necessarily that it's something that it's the Elul 29, and it happened the last two. That was a very specific, special pattern. But the predominant pattern is this long-term collapse in the financial realm. Well, that's exactly what happened. The Shemitah of 2008 was the worst year of Wall Street in 7 years since the last Shemitah, since 2008. It's the first time it finished in the red for the first time since 2008, the Shemitah before it. The Shemitah of 2015 saw a collapsed global trade. It's still in a collapse state. It collapsed. It was the worst since 2008. The other Shemitah collapsed in the commodities market, the collapse of the oil market. You can still see that at your gas stations. Collapse of corporate profits, collapse of earnings, collapse of retail. It was the worst year to make money, and people didn't realize this, worst year to make money or for money all around in 78 years since the Great Depression. And it's since 1937, the Shemitah of the Great Depression. On top of that, you know, did you have any great single day crashes? And you did. Out of all the greatest crashes in stock market history, 20% of them took place in the Shemitah of 2015. 20% of all in history. Not only that, they all all 20% took place in the month of Elul, the month of the Shemitah, including Black Monday, which is the worst one-day, intraday crash in history. And not just that, all over the world there were crashes. You know, if we lived in China, I don't think there'd even be the discussion. China, which is now the engine of the world economy, in every other Shemitah it was America, but now it's China. China was wiped out. 43% of its stock market was wiped out. I mean, in 2.5 months, which is probably makes it the most intense stock market crash in world history. But then there are the other things as well. And I want to update the book because there's so much that actually did. But on top of that, you know, the Shemitah has often marked great changes in history of power, of rise and fall of power. The American age began in 1871 when America became the strongest economic power on earth, surpassed Great Britain for the first time. That age has lasted, and then it became the strongest military power, strongest financial power, and all that. The American age that we have lived in, that we've been born in, all of us, came to an end. The Shemitah of 2015 wiped it out, where America was supplanted, and the crown as the greatest, strongest economic power on earth passed to China. So even that, the end of the American age. So there's really so much, but nothing had to happen. God is not in a box, but the predominant pattern that you see in the book over and over again absolutely did.
You know, you're right on the money. Obviously, I don't need to affirm that. However, looking at the situation, and I think the majority of people, especially in the West, have somewhat of a tunnel vision or an expectation to see some sort of big bang happen, some big event. You know, we tend to miss the little events, don't we? You know, the collective.
Or even sometimes the long terms, which end up being more consequential for the overall picture. People are dramatic, and listen, and I could have, and I'd say be ready either way, everybody does, we tend to, and as prophecy people, we tend to be dramatic as well. I mean, look for that, and that there's nothing wrong with that, but you can't be dogmatic, and I've always warned of this, I think from the beginning of this, and every interview always warned, but the fact is some of the most significant things and long-term things did happen. I mean, the collapse of global trade is gigantic, and it's missed by so many people. I mean, people who know it is. In fact, it was the worst year, I think, for the trade index in the history of the trade index. You know, it was 2015. You can see it with your gas pump, but nothing had to, but it did. And we're still, and beyond all that, we are still marching. We are, as a civilization, we are progressing, and we can watch this every day. This is one of the surest things of prophecy is the great apostasy that's in our midst and that we're watching is progressing every day.
Oh, indeed it is. And we are seeing that, as you say, every day. And it's amazing the vitriol that's associated with that, the objectives, the path of the unrighteous, I suppose, it's just incredible. We are being subjugated as Christians and as Jews. The Judeo-Christian fabric of this country is under assault every single day, and it's sometimes it's just a little bit of erosion, other times it's full-out assault, but boy, are we suffering the consequences. Yeah.
And it's accelerating. You can watch it. It's like a ball rolling down the hill. But that is the same thing that happened in the last days of Israel. They called, as Isaiah said, woe to those who call what is evil good and what is good evil. And it goes together. If you call what is evil good, if you celebrate sin, you're going to end up calling what is good, what is of God, evil. And that's exactly, we're watching the two things progress at the same time. Every move there is to celebrate immorality or that which goes against God. At the same time, there's another story of persecution, of believers being driven from their jobs or being silenced or literally being put in jail that we saw for the first time. So absolutely, that's one of the signs. And that's also one of the reasons that I was led to write the Book of Mysteries. And that is that not only to, reveal these things, but also that I believe that God's people are going to have to be very strong in the days ahead and very grounded and very rooted. Those who will stand are those who are rooted in the Lord. And so I want to do something that is not only going to reveal, you know, the mysteries of God, but also strengthen God's people, you know, to overcome, to stand strong, to get revived, you know, and we need revival, revived in the Lord and intimacy with God, which is what we need as well. You know, we talk about prophecy, but when you live in prophecy, you live in these days, it's not just that your relationship with God has to be so grounded, and so that's another thing too. So that leads to the book of mysteries, and that's why I began it.
Wow.
Well, let's get into this, Jonathan. What is the Book of Mysteries? How would you describe this latest work that you've completed?
Well, if I would do this, if the Harbinger is the revealing of ancient mystery, and the Shemitah is the revealing of a mystery, the Book of Mysteries is the uncovering, the unlocking, or the opening up of hundreds of the mysteries of God. And I kind of try to put it as my best picture is if you're opening a treasure chest and filled with ancient mysteries, but also, you know, the mysteries, what I believe are the greatest or the most important mysteries of God, the mysteries of the age, the mysteries of the end time, mysteries of heaven, mysteries in the hidden writings of the rabbis, mysteries behind history, behind what's happening now, mysteries that of overcoming, of dwelling in the heavenlies even now, and mysteries that can transform your life, and also finding really the destiny of your life, because it's ultimately about the reader or God in us. So it's really, I wanted to put in here what I believe are some of the greatest mysteries there. I'll give an idea. Some of the titles, I know we'll get into them. One is called The Seven Mysteries of the Age, how the whole age is set up according to these mysteries. The mystery of the secret angels, and I would just give a hint that we have encountered them. How to alter your past. Actually, that's biblical that you have the power to do that. The Maccabean blueprint, that the end times are so detailed, revealed in this one thing, that is overlooked, that gives the details of the end times. The mystery of Melchizedek, one of the most mysterious people in the Bible. The secret of the third prince, how to live from the future. The Shabbat mystery code, how in the Sabbath of the synagogue you actually have an end time amazing revelation of what's coming. Another one called the seven mysteries of your life, not just of the age, but there are seven mysteries, seven events of your life, of every believer, that are actually come from an ancient scroll in the Bible. So it's really on all these different things, and it's revealed, you know, I would say, you know, the parallel with the Harbinger and the Shemitah is that it's the revealing of mysteries. But another parallel is that it is, as the Harbinger opens up, as you know, with, you know, I was led to frame it with a narrative, with a prophet and, you know, the unveiling of it. The Book of Mysteries is also framed in that way, that it begins with a man journeying in the desert, and he meets a man called the teacher, and the teacher takes him on a 1 year odyssey journey in the desert, on mountaintops, inside caves, in tent villages, and in gardens, in chambers of scrolls and vessels, and there it reveals to him every day. He opens up or reveals one of the mysteries of God. So every day there's a new mystery. So because it's a year journey, it ends up being 365 mysteries. So
right.
So therefore, the disciples recording it, or the guys recording it, and that becomes the Book of Mysteries, the words and the revelation of these things. So the Book of Mysteries can be read right through, and people are reading, you know, just came out this past week. It's people are reading it right through, but also, and it can be done, you know, looking for the mystery. There's a table of contents of all the mysteries, but also it can be also read as a devotional that every day, except one kind of unlike most previous devotionals, that every day you're getting one of the mysteries of God, or one of the mysteries of the end times, or one of the mysteries of the rabbis. And then there's a mission at the end where the teacher gives the disciple, because it's not just, I don't want is that people just be blown away by things of God, but also that it transforms their life. So there's a way to apply each mystery to your life that day. And so the mission's for the disciple, but it's really for the reader. And so there are many mysteries in there that, as far as we know, have never been anywhere, you know. And then there's also ones that came as I was doing this and in the midst of it. And then it's really taking the reader on this journey, that the one who goes on the journey has no name, because it's really the reader. As you open it up, you're taken on the journey. And the other thing is that also there are streams of mysteries within the Book of Mysteries, and that is that there are things that begin, mysteries that begin, but they're really part of larger mysteries that keep unfolding until they conclude at the end. So it's all those things, you know, throughout the whole book.
You know, Jonathan, and ladies and gentlemen, I read on average 1 to 2 books a week. I love to read. I love books. I love the information that they provide. I have to say this, when I was reading your book, and folks, I hope everyone can relate with me. When I opened your book, I really didn't know what to expect, and I began reading it. And many books that I read, I'm well informed after reading the book, if it's, you know, depending on how it's written. And folks, you understand this. You pick up a book, it's either for entertainment, informational, or inspirational purposes. But when I began reading the Book of Mysteries, when I concluded with the Book of Mysteries, it caused me to contemplate. I felt like I was not just gaining knowledge, but I was gaining wisdom. Does that sound right? I mean, I really felt like after concluding my read, and I having gone back to also going through, and it's really well written and well done and easy to really get through. I felt better for it. I felt more inspired. I felt, well, you know, it's just, so it was an experience, folks. I guess that's what I'm trying to get across to the audience here. It was a tremendous experience. Our guest is Jonathan Kahn.
And we're coming up against a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Jonathan, since the last time you were on, we have reformatted the show. We got a break at 26 and 56 in the hour, so there's a little change of pace here, folks. You're listening to Jonathan Kahn on the Hagman and Hagman Report. He's talking about the Book of Mysteries, his latest book. Go to hopeoftheworld.org or mysteriesbook.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Folks, we're so happy to have Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, New York Times best-selling author. You know him by his previous books, of course, The Harbinger,
The Mystery of the Shemitah.
That's correct, The Mystery of the Shemitah. You know, Rabbi Kahn is just a fantastic man. He's the president of Hope World Ministries. He's a senior pastor and messianic rabbi of the Jerusalem Center, Beth Israel in Wayne, New Jersey. And, you know, you can listen to Rabbi Kahn. His teachings are broadcast daily over hundreds of radio stations all across the United States and worldwide on television. He ministers, as did the first Jewish messengers of the gospel, sharing the message of the Messiah to Jewish and to the Gentiles and to everyone, basically. He has ministered before mass gatherings in India, in Nigeria, in Cuba. Name the country, he's been there. He is such an asset to the Judeo-Christian life. I mean, and he's an exemplary writer, a very prolific author. And of course, his newest book, it's right here for those watching us on YouTube, The Book of Mysteries. I do recommend everyone grab a copy. Just go to mysteriesbook.com. Thank you for that correction. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, mysteriesbook.com. Jonathan, this is a fascinating book. The Book of Mysteries reveals things in a very different way and unique way. Can you explain how you came to write this book?
In that fashion, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to say also that, you know, it's kind of cool that, and thank you for your kind words, you know, how you kind of were saying that it wasn't just information, it was doing something to you. And when I was writing it, it was the same way. As I was writing, I wrote it pretty much probably from 12 midnight to 7 in the morning, most days. And then and then it was only finished, say, May or June. It's on the shelf, it's just on the shelves this week. So, it was, because it's to change lives. It's to strengthen us. It's to do everything. It's not just the head, it's the whole life. And I do believe because of the, you know, and that goes back to your question, it's that, you know, I believe, you know, I love, listen, I mean, there's no end to God, and there's no end to his mysteries, and there's no, all that, and yet, you know, the time is, it's crucial now that we have to become strong on fire for the Lord in every way, and seek him too. There's no end to God, so, you know, too many believers, they become stagnant. There's no end, and to revitalize the walk. So, I was blessed with what you said, and that's why there are the mission at the end, or how to take the mystery and apply it, you know, in your life. So, and I do believe that if people go on this, and, you know, however, whether it's reading it through, or whether it's, you know, every day, it will, I almost guarantee if you apply it, it will change your life, because it's God's word, and it's taking it. And, you know, so I just believe that we are going to be in very, very challenging times, and God wants us to shine, and God wants us to, all of us, to overcome and live up, not on the defense. So that's the temptation that we have right now with the world, you know, with the apostasy. Yet we have to live on the offense in God. And so it is to really change our lives. That was my burden to do this.
Yeah, believe me, it changed. It really, again, it touched my heart, and I felt like I was tapping into wisdom. It's the oddest feeling, but it touched me spiritually, you know, and it inspired me. As a matter of fact, I'll just tell you this real quick. When I took the book, when I left for the studio today, I took it off of our nightstand, where my wife began reading it late last night, and she read one of the mysteries in one of the chapters, of course, a mystery, and she looked at me and she said, "Wow, this is the entire book like this, you know, that powerful." And I said, "Every single page." So when she saw me walking out of the out of the house with it to come to the studio, she said, "You're going to bring that back tonight. You are. I mean, that was an order." So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
thank you. Yeah. Yeah, and it is again. And again, as I was doing it, this is a weird thing to say, but I mean, because I, you know, there's different things happen at each time with each book, and each one was different. But this one, I felt, you know, it was usually again 6 or 7 in the morning when I finished it, and it came to me, and I was at the end. I felt revitalized, or I felt lifted up, or I felt cleansed, or I felt, you know. And it's hard to explain this, and for those who are listening, if they haven't read it, and you know, but that's it. It's me as well. I mean, I'm saying, and there are people who are, this first week, I don't know if anybody's, did you say you finished it, or you finished a reading of it?
No, I Doug here, and I finished, I started reading it Sunday, and I stopped for a couple of hours Sunday into Monday. I began reading it again Monday, and I'll tell you something. I read up to 3 books a week, generally 1 to 2. But I'm going to go back and reread very carefully.
Yeah, I cherry picked it. I went through the table of contents and just went,
yes,
and
read
what I could. And what I, the ones I did pick out and read, there was at least 30 of them. I mean, they're fantastic. I got a list in front of me that I want to ask you about. I know we don't have a lot of time, but, it's definitely,
and feel free too with that, as well as, you know, questions, however everybody goes. Yeah. But that's another way of doing it. And I think you're the first one I've heard said, you know, you could just look at the table of contents and go wherever, you know, at whatever mystery, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way, a great format.
Yeah, it is. And the, as I said, you know, the ones that I did pick out and I did read, it is, as my dad said, it does, it opens your mind, makes you want to go back into the scriptures and to, you know, read some of these things yourself. I came across a number of instances in your book where I had to go look to see if, you know, what you said was accurate, what you wrote was accurate.
Yeah.
There are some words that I never even noticed before.
And listen, people, the first time that happened is when I wrote The Harbinger, and I sent it to the, you know, there was a lawyer dealing with the thing, and, you know, with the contract and all that, and she was Jewish and Orthodox, and she looked over the manuscript, and she said, I couldn't believe that this was real. And so I went on the internet, and I found it was real. So, you know, that happened from the beginning, and I'm blessed with that.
Well, one thing that grabbed me, and perhaps we can start here on the book itself, and folks, listen to this, because this, when I read this, and this is from, like, you know, day one here, second one when I grabbed this book, one of the first mysteries that you were talking about in your book is the mystery behind the name of God. Now, I've heard this, but I've never had it delivered to me in this fashion. The name of God, the book of mysteries reveals things in a very different way, a very unique way about the name of God. Tell us
about
it.
Yeah, and that's the beginning, because it's, you know, the beginning of all these things is God in the end. Yeah, the name of the very first, you know, noun or name in the Bible is the name of God, and it's Elohim, of course. Elohim, but one of the things we don't realize, that breaks the laws of language, because it's the word, you know, Elohim is plural, and then yet the verb God created, bara Elohim, is singular, and that breaks, I mean, it would break the law of any language. And when that happens in the Hebrew, and people don't realize, because there's a lot of things that when you read it in your English Bible, you don't see it, you don't, there's so much behind it in the original language that's really a revelation. And this is one of them, and there's a whole stream of them, of the Hebrew pluralities. But this one is that even from the beginning, you know, what it's saying to you, when the Hebrew does that, what it's saying is several things. One is, it's saying that what is being communicated, what the word cannot contain it. In other words, the reality is so incredible, is so beyond, is so transcendent, you cannot sum it up. So when you see God as Elohim, and in other places in the Bible, Elohim literally is translated as the gods, when it's the same word. But when it's spoken up for God, it means that God is so great, so beyond. Whatever you think he is, he's more than that. However good you think he is, he's better than that. There's no end. If you think you know God, you know, if Paul could write, then I might know him. Here, the one who wrote most of the books of the New Testament, and he's saying that I still have to know him. It means that there's so much more. There is no end to knowing God. There's no end to what you can receive of God. There's no end. Whatever it is, he's more. And that's from the very beginning, that's what Elohim. So the very first mystery, kind of the first and the last mystery, is God himself.
Exactly.
Now, let me throw in another one. I just thought about it. Sorry.
Sure.
I thought about something.
No, go ahead.
Another one that links with the name of God is the Tetragrammaton, and that's the actual name that God gives to Moses, you know, which we translate YHVH, you know, and, or, you know, when people say Yahweh, and some say Jehovah, and some, you know, but that's, we don't know exactly how to say that. Yahweh is probably close, but there's no, you know, no one fully knows. And so it's been a great mystery, that name, the Tetragrammaton, four letters of God. It's so sacred that, you know, that Jewish people don't even try to avoid saying it, or, you know, when a scribe wrote it down, they would bathe when they would do that. And so at one point in the book, the teacher asks, you know, do you know the name of God? And the thing is, he says, well, he's new, he doesn't really know that. And he says, well, and here it is, this most mystical of names, Yahweh or YHVH, and yet he says, you say it all the time. And the thing is that, you see, before you can even, if you say your name, you speak about yourself, say who you are, I am Jonathan. Before I say Jonathan, I have to say the name of God. I have to say I am, no matter what. No matter what, if I say I am sad, I have to put the name of God before who I am. But if I say I'm happy, it's always I am. I am has to go before my name, you know. And so what it's saying is that even existence, our existence itself, the mystery of us, for us to say I am, it's because he's I am. And so our existence is that. And so even if we say, listen, you know, I feel I'm alone. Well, you're not alone, because you have I am. I am alone. I am is with you in that too. So every moment, everyone on earth, even people who don't know God, have to voice it, and you have to put God, you have to say his name first. You know, so meaning the flow of life is that you have to start everything with God. And it's not just the word to live to God or live, you know, I want to make it to God. It's that word to live from God. Every moment we do, it's I am. Everything we do it from him. And that's really the secret of living in victory and life. It starts with I am.
Yeah, and that's that to me. It helped me understand too my relationship with God. And as trite as that might sound, when you ponder those two simple words, I am, very well done. And again, it really uplifted me, inspired me, but it instilled a sense of, I don't want to say godliness, but a relationship just that one chapter.
Yeah, and even when we say Jesus, I mean, you know, we know, of course, Jesus' real name is Yeshua, and Yeshua is, you know, throughout the Hebrew scriptures, it says, my, you know, God will become my salvation. Well, that's God, and God will become my Yeshua, and he did, and Yeshua, or Jesus, Yeshua literally means Yahweh is salvation. It's YHVH is I am is salvation. So God will become, even in that, and we know what he says, before Abraham was, I am. You know, that's also part of the mystery, that in all things, when it's, he's on the cross, it's I am is with us. You know, matter, even when we mess up, we're in sin on the cross, it's I am is there in that too. You know, so he's all in all. And it's the ultimate mystery is him.
Amen. And folks, if you're joining us late, I know some people are. We're talking with Jonathan Kahn, the author of his new book, The Book of Mysteries. Folks, go to mysteriesbook.com. That's mysteriesbook.com. Of course, you know, Jonathan Kahn is the author of The Harbinger and the Mystery of the Shemitah. Fantastic author. But this particular book, you talk about a different kind of book, one that will grab you and inspire you and instill wisdom, I felt, anyway. That's really, to me, I just want to pay the highest of compliments to the author.
Well they're very kind, and they can get it. Also, it's everywhere, you know, Walmart, yes. Amazon. I mean, it's been everywhere, you know. So, but again, this is the first week.
Let me ask you, how's it doing? Is it broken the New York Times bestseller list? I mean,
we don't know yet, that part, except that, because you don't know, it's a delay of about 2 weeks, you know, before they take everything in. But it rocketed up. It's in the top 100 of the 5 million books that are out there. It's in the top 500. I mean, top 100, it was like 36 or something of all the books in the world. So it's doing very well, you know, everywhere. Yeah, it's doing very well.
That's
yeah,
great.
It's doing. I mean, as in the Harbinger, they're telling me it's doing great all over.
Well, fantastic.
We hope that continues. The this book, The Book of Mysteries, opens up, you know, a number of different mysteries from, you know, some of the ones I've written down here, from the House of Spirits, the Mystery Nation. That's one I really like. It also talks about the what's happening with the end times, the mysteries of the end times. And you have one called The Apostasia. Can you explain
that? Yes. Sure. And there's several, you know, there's several streams on the end times, of course, as well. Yeah. Here's one of the, and this is the where the teacher, I think, is, I'm not sure if they're sharing, he's outside by a fire or something. Oh, no, actually, takes him to the Chamber of Books on this one and opens up a book that, where the picture is fading away and the words are fading away, and reveals the mystery of the apostasia. And we know there's a great falling away when that has to happen in the end times. And we see that all around. Then we think of that, and it's true, you know, the falling away from the faith. Apostasy comes from the Greek apostasia, but apostasia has another mystery in it that's generally overlooked completely. Apostasia means not only the falling away from one's belief or one's stand, it also means the departure from the state of being. And in other words, in the age when you see, at the end times, you'll see a falling away from faith, a falling away which we see. At the same time, and linked to it, we will also see a phenomenon of the falling away or the departure from the state of being, apostasy, or the falling away from stasis, the state of being. What does that mean? In the end times, you will see the apostasy. You will see men falling away from the state of manhood, women falling away from the state of womanhood, marriage falling away from the state of marriage, family from the state of family, man falling away from the state of man or humanity. And that is exactly what we are witnessing, and that's just as profound, just as real as the falling away from faith. In fact, it goes together, you know, because when the creation came into existence because of the Word. And so when you fall away from the Word, you fall away from the state of creation. So here is something very definite, very specific, that we are witnessing right now, but it was all, in a sense, hidden or revealed in the actual original language of the Bible.
Man, okay. And talk about insight into the present day. Obviously past this prologue, but we've seen this before historically. We've seen this referenced, of course, in detail in the Bible, and now you're talking about this, and really, in your book, and again, folks, the book is by Jonathan Cahn, The Book of Mysteries, as depicted right here, or as you can see right here on, if you're watching YouTube Live, it's right here. It's a fantastic book. So that's about the apostasy. But let me back up just a minute here, because I've got kind of a personal favorite, one of several personal favorites, backing up to the mysteries of the rabbis. Now, perhaps, you know, maybe at the periphery, you've
sure
references in this conversation, but if you can get in, give us a little bit more, let's address that. The mysteries of the rabbis.
Yeah, some of the streams of the mysteries are that as well. There's amazing things that are hidden in the writings of the rabbis that amazingly show and lift up Jesus, even though they either didn't realize it or had no idea. In the book, the teacher takes the disciple into the chamber of books, where he takes out these large books, which are the Talmud, or the writings of the rabbis. And for instance, there's one I make called The Secret of Yoma. And where it goes into that hidden in the writings of the rabbis, the ancient writings, they reveal that strange things began happening in the Temple of Jerusalem, as indicating a cosmic change, that something gigantic had happened, even linked to salvation or linked to how we get saved. Gigantic, all sorts of strange supernatural things started happening, and the rabbis recorded them. And in their books, one is the Book of Yoma, where they recorded it, and they, for instance, they said that the great golden doors of the temple would suddenly open by themselves, and they would keep doing this, and then, you know, one rabbi was rebuking them and saying, stop doing it. The same saying, like, the way to God was open, just like you see in the New Testament. You have the curtain, the veil that is you know, torn apart in the Holy of Holies. Well, this is the next partition, next barrier, and the rabbis are like the second witness of it, that the way was open. But then they go further, because when did this begin happening? According to the mystery, they dated it. They said these things began happening. This cosmic change took place about 40 years before the Temple of Jerusalem was destroyed. Well, when was that? 40 years before is 30 A.D., or right around 30 A.D., which is when, that's just when Messiah, around the time of Messiah coming, the time of the cross, the time of the resurrection, the time of the cosmic change. So even the rabbis are bearing witness of Messiah without even knowing it, and there's nothing in history where you have such a witness, a hostile witness, bearing witness to the truth of Messiah. And another one with that is, I mean, along with that, there's something called the Scepter of Judah is one of the mysteries there. And that without going into detail, it's from the book of Sanhedrin, the very Sanhedrin that rejected Jesus, and yet they have on there, they give a time, the time period when Messiah has to come, or the time date by which he has to come, and the date they give is the time when Jesus came. And this is the Sanhedrin. So, you know, there's another one in the called the Shabbat Mystery Code, and that is what the Jewish people do on the Sabbath. There's actually an exact liturgy that is filled, that gives the exact blueprint of the age to come. And not that whether they know it or not, it's all there. So there's a lot on that stream too. But it's amazing, and most you know, Christians don't know about it, and also most Jewish people don't know about it.
Exactly, and you're exactly right. The other thing I realized, and I mentioned about, you know, feeling like I was being instilled with wisdom. The other thing, it reminds me, the book did remind me the fact that, yeah, I mean, my gaps in knowledge are immense, and this kind of fills that void. And as I was going through this book too, I couldn't help but think of the Russian nesting dolls, because it seems like in many of the mysteries, as you mentioned, you know, you take one doll out, and then of course our audience members, I'm sure, are familiar with the Russian nesting dolls, where they're dolls within dolls within dolls, and that's kind of the way this plays out, the book,
mysteries,
you know, and it's just...
Yes, and that's true, and I find that when these things are coming, it's generally like, whoa, and this one then sparks this one, and this one it connects to this one, and so there are many mysteries that are, you know, simply, there are, you know, unto themselves, and then there are the mysteries that are mysteries with themselves, but then they're also part of a bigger mystery, as he said, you know, that keeps going and keeps going and keeps going, and then many of them, well, they they kind of come together at the end, and also a lot of things at the end starts going towards the heavenly as well.
There are many mysteries in this book that are very deep and take a lot of research and time to, you know, to look, go through, to understand. Can you give us some examples of some of the things that the deeper meanings that you came across while writing this?
Yeah, we can just tell you a little bit. I mean, one is, you know, one of the most mysterious things we mentioned before, you know, is Melchizedek, and there's going to be there's one in there, and actually it's in the newest thing that they printed called The Mystery of Melchizedek, which I think is going to be very surprising because there's someone, you know, everybody knows, a very famous person in the New Testament that is actually part of the puzzle piece of the mystery of Melchizedek that we would never think, but absolutely so. I'll mention one and say, you know, also, I mean, there's something about entering the heavenly dimension that, you know, when you go into the temple, if you go into the Holy of Holies, you're seeing, first you see these, when you look at the veils, you're seeing depictions of cherubim. And the depictions of the cherubim are two-dimensional. You know, they're on the veil. They're two-dimensional. But once you go into the Holy of Holies, you then see the cherubim as the golden statues, which are now three-dimensional. So literally, you went, by going through the veil, you go from the two-dimensional to the three-dimensional. And so there's a mystery about entering the heavenly dimension, right? You could say the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension, but that we actually, there's a way in God and the Spirit that we are to enter into new realms and new dimensions, and that's called how to enter the heavenly realm. There's something called the Haftorah mystery, which is that they actually go into the chamber, the teacher leads them into the chamber of scrolls, and there's one scroll that is that, you know, every week from ancient times, the Jewish people read a passage of scripture that's appointed for that week every day. Every Sabbath there is another point in, and one part of it's from the Torah or the law, and the other part from the prophets generally. So the amazing thing is that one of the most prophetic events in our lifetime, ever, when it happened, there was actually a scripture appointed from ancient times being read all over the world that marked the very day. I'll just say this. I mean, you can guess, but marked the day. May 14th and 15th, the rebirth of Israel was on a Sabbath. It was announced at nighttime or just before the nightfall, and then Sabbath came. Well, there was a scripture appointed for that very day, which was appointed from thousands of years ago, and that was literally fulfilled. It was God's prophecy fulfilled on that day.
It's absolutely amazing. Well, I'm not going to give anything away from that. I think you did a fantastic job referencing that. Folks, if you're joining us just now, or if you've been with us, of course, our guest is Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, author of a brand new book, The Book of Mysteries, the website, mysteriesbook.com. But, folks, you can get it just about everywhere, as Rabbi Kahn said. I would urge everyone to grab it.
Hopeoftheworld.org.
Yes.
This is something that we haven't talked about too much. I would urge everybody to go here, bookmark the site, and there are you can sign up, you can become a member, and you can with the membership status, you can receive different messages, a monthly message from Mr. Kahn, as well as newsletters and whatnot. And there's a lot of stuff to check out on the website. That's hopeoftheworld.org, and you can
you guys are great. I mean, I don't usually even pray that. You're right. And yeah, we give prophetic updates, and we give free gifts as well. They'll get these, and to get deeper, because the other thing with the Book of Mysteries, at the bottom you'll also see scriptures that to go deeper, and a lot of people, you know, they do it, and then they find things that are not even there, that or other mysteries from it. But also then there's a kind of a thing to get, if they want to get really deep, then there are teachings, full teachings that go to get really deep into any one mystery. So everything has that at the below too, and that's where Hope of the World has that, you know, on the site there.
That's right. And my wife even mentioned to me, she said, you know, because she saw me reading the book, and she said, you did not pick up your Bible when you read that book, knowing that, of course, after she read this part of it and saw the scriptures. So I was, on me, but I'm going to go back and definitely cross-reference and read it. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn is our guest for two more segments, graciously giving the gift of his time, his insight, his knowledge. Folks, we're going to be right back. Just stay right where you're at. Hagman and Hagman Report.